All right. This church, not this church, but a church had I don't know if it's a problem, but it seemed that the preacher was especially long-winded. And, you know, his preaching was good and his doctrine was good, but it just was to the point where his people were finished about 15 minutes before he was on a regular basis. Some had even mentioned to the pastor's wife about how he just went on and on. And so, you know, the pastor wanted to, you know, be a good steward of the Lord's time and minister to his people. So the wife and him, they put their heads together and they came up with a plan. They came up with a plan to help him, well, stop whatever on time means. And they came up with this. He would take a mint. He would take a mint, some sort, put it in his mouth, and preach. And as the mint was just about gone, then he would know to wrap it up. And so he began to do that and try that, and it went, worked. It worked really well. And for, I mean, a couple of months, it just seemed to be the ticket. And one Sunday morning, he got to preaching, and it got to 12, and he didn't appear to be anywhere near get done. I mean, quarter after 12, and people are starting to look around again and look over at the wife, and she senses, and 12:30, and finally about quarter to 1, he starts wrapping it up. Of course, the people, most of them they'd give out about 12:15. After it was over, his wife said to him, "Honey, what happened? What happened? It seemed like it went really long again." And he goes, "I don't know. I think when I reached in my pocket, I got a button." So does that mean the button finally dissolved? I don't know. All right. Well, if I put a mint in my mouth, it'd probably hit somebody in the first three rows. But I'm definitely not putting a button in. Take your Bible tonight and go to Genesis chapter 1. I like the way Brother Brian began by saying how, you know, around here we take stuff serious. And then I looked at my wife, because you'll find out why when we get to preaching tonight's message. And then he started in on Miss Debbie with the birthday thing, and I'm going, okay, good, the pressure's off. Amen. Hey, there's a time to take stuff serious. There's no doubt about that. But the reason, a lot of times, every time, I guess this week, I've started with some kind of joke or little story, because it's good to laugh, it's good to take the edge, in my opinion anyway, it's good to take the edge off a little bit, because what our tendency is to take ourselves way too serious. Amen. Boy, when you come in here, we need to set the stage to take the precious name of Jesus like we sang about. We need to take that serious. And we need to take the Word of God serious. Amen. And as the Holy Spirit bears witness, but it's okay to have a good time. I believe it is. And so, amen. It seems like we've got a good balance going. And amen. My prayers, I don't mess it up. Genesis chapter 1. Brother Mike, I'm going to take some advice from you. And tonight I'm going to preach intelligently. Yeah, we had a talk the other night. And I got a blessing from the brother. So you're going to be impressed here tonight with my intelligent insertion. Amen. You'll see in a minute. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 20. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, at which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth." and the evening and the morning were the fifth day. So, verse 20, it said fowl that fly. And verse 21, it mentions winged fowl. And verse 22, it said let the fowl multiply. Amen. Now, come on, you get the thread, right? Here, let me give you the definition of the word fowl. Fowl is a word for birds in general, but usually refers to birds belonging to one of two biological orders. Are you impressed? Namely, the land fowl and the water fowl. Studies, translation, taxpayer dollars, studies of anatomical and molecular similarities suggest that these two groups are close evolutionary relatives. I wonder how much they spent to figure that out. I mean, I could have helped them out for $50. Amen. Land fowl, water fowl, relatives. Done. That's the end of the story. Now, the reason I'm even saying that, bringing that up, is because I've noticed a sudden interest in ducks recently. And I'm going to preach about ducks tonight a little bit, but I wanted to establish from the Word of God where they came from. God made them. God made them on the fifth day, and He said it was good. And they survived the flood, so that means there was a male and female on the ark. All right, now, seems like maybe it's begun to wane a bit, but it seemed like there for a while, everywhere you went, you saw Duck Dynasty stuff. Duck Dynasty. Now, I didn't know what that was about. I went into a Walmart one time, and there are life-size cutouts of those guys with their long hair and their beards, and I didn't know anything about the TV show, amen, and I just thought they were bikers. So I started trying to figure out who they rode with to determine whether or not I was even allowed to like them or if I should just go kick the thing over or whatever. I never paid much. I realized they were talking about duck hunting, so I never paid much attention to them. I hunted when I was younger and allowed to play with guns, but I never was a duck hunter. Now, maybe some of you are, and amen, I run across them. When I preach, guys that hunt ducks, I never did. I never paid much attention to the Duck Dynasty folks until I heard that they were making the atheists really mad. Yeah, I automatically like that. And I thought, okay, what's up with these guys? They were praying over supper in Jesus' name, by the way. So I said, okay, that's cool. And then there was that big ruckus over Phil Robertson's magazine interview. You know, hello. I mean, this is America. If they didn't want his opinion, they shouldn't have asked him. But when they made all that fuss and threatened to shut him down or fire him, and that's no doubt a multi-million dollar industry, he didn't back down. So I waited to hear the family abandon him, and they didn't. And they said, well, that's fine. We can go do. And I was impressed by that. I like that. I appreciate him sticking by what he said, even when they threatened him financially. And I appreciate his family sticking by him. Now, Susan and I don't have a television. We'd heard of the show. We never saw it. Never saw it. But, I mean, eventually we got around some Christian friends that we're talking about it, and they said it was clean, and they said it was kind of funny, and we got somewhere way out in the sticks, and I mean, listen, This is evangelism. We are so far out in the sticks a while back that for something to do between meetings, we went to a Kmart for entertainment. I mean, we saw it, and I didn't even know they still had Kmarts. I go, okay, let's go in there. And my wife pointed out, I'm sure it was her, that there on the sale rack was season 3 of Duck Dynasty. And I had just heard about it, so I bought it. And I took it back to the motorhome, and I put it in a DVD player, and I watched it for about 3 hours. 6, 7, 8 episodes. I almost overdosed. I'm serious. I figured out why they dole that out half hour at a time. Because that was the dumbest thing I ever saw. If that's the best thing going on television, then everything I thought about television was true. Because it was dumb and it was silly. Now, it didn't offend me or anything like that, and I'm not preaching against it, but it did get me thinking. Duck Dynasty, it got me thinking because, and now you know what a duck is, correct? And you know who made them. I want to introduce you to something tonight. You know what a duck is? Say amen. I want to introduce you to the decoy. Very good. Let's tell you that again. You know what a duck is? Tonight, I want to introduce you to the decoy. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. How lifelike. That guy is not going to sit there. So we'll just wave him on occasion. Now, let me tell you some things here. Come on. Get serious. The duck and the decoy are very similar. They're similar in size. They're similar in shape. They're similar in color. Matter of fact, sometimes the decoy even looks better than a real duck. I mean, those ducks out there running for their lives from predators, and they get flying around in storms, and they get sick, and they get old, and I don't know, it seems to me like flying south for the winter, you get pretty tired. And sometimes they probably, you know, don't look as good as our friend, the decoy. It's going to be a long night. Amen, because decoys aren't affected by any of those things. Now, they could, truth be known, they get worn or used, they could get a little faded, but a little touch-up paint, they look as good as new. Amen. But I want to point out some things tonight. And decoys may look like ducks, and they may look good, maybe even better. But I'm here to tell you tonight, they're not ducks. Yeah, right. They're not ducks. Though they're similar, there's major differences between a duck and a decoy. And tonight, that's the message. I want to preach on duck or decoy. All right, let's pray. Father, again, we come to you in the precious name that is above every name. We come to you in that name that every tongue should confess and every knee shall bow to. And I thank you, Lord God, that I did that 24 years ago. And I wish it wouldn't have took a jail cell and a prison sentence. I wish it wouldn't have took those kind of things to get my attention. But I sure do want to thank you tonight for being very patient with me and giving me an opportunity. I thank you for a praying mother who prayed that David would get another chance to hear the truth. And Lord, I don't know how many times I, in my ignorance and my willfulness and my sinfulness, I rejected the word of God. Thank God one day I got it. And so tonight I pray that you'd enable the message to accomplish your purpose, make sense tonight. And I pray that you'd be pleased. Thank you, Lord, for folks that meet 8 days in a row now and be here tonight in church on a Friday when there might be other things that they would have done maybe not would have rather done, but would have done if there hadn't been church. Thank God for folks that'll just interrupt their busy lives to get where maybe you're doing something. And I pray you would do something. And I pray that we'd give you the credit for it, the honor and glory you deserve. And again, in that name of the Lord Jesus Christ in whom we pray. Amen. All right, duck or decoy tonight. Let me tell you some things. Ducks, I'm no authority, but I know this. Ducks love the water. Ducks love the water. When my little girl, my youngest, was about five, and we'd be down there at in my hometown, Lawrenceburg, Tennessee, we'd go out to the lake, Crockett Lake, at David Crockett State Park. I was born where he was a mayor when he resigned and came with Sam Houston to Texas. Amen. So we got a little invested in San Antonio, in particular, in the part of the country that I'm from. And we'd go out to Crockett Lake because they had ducks out there. And my mom, she'd save a loaf of bread, and it'd get kind of old, and when we got there, there was always one, and she'd give to my little girl, 5 years old, and I'd take her out there, and she'd stand there on the shore, Crockett Lake, and throw that bread out there, and they would come. We liked doing that. We liked feeding them. It's something we did together. We liked feeding them. She loved watching them, and here's what we learned. Ducks love the water. They're comfortable in it. They're comfortable around it. They look for it. They long for it. They enjoy it. They're not just destined to swim around because they have webbed feet. Look to me like they really enjoyed it. You know why? Because they were designed for it by their creator. And truth of the matter is, they knew they needed it to survive. Decoys, getting better. Amen. On the other hand, decoys, on the other hand, they don't care about the water. They don't care. Amen. If they're sitting on the floor at a John boat, they don't care. If they're in the back of the truck, and they don't care if they're in the trunk of a car. They look the same. They act the same. Amen. It doesn't matter to them at all. Let me tell you something else about ducks. They don't just float around on the surface either. I've watched them. I get to preach down in South Florida, and there's a big old lake down there, Lake Okeechobee. Great bass fishing lake. Amen. I go to a little church down there on the east side of the lake, and there's a campground there. We'll go down there and pull our butts in there, so we're looking at the lake. Big old lake, 30 miles across. You might as well be on the shore of the Gulf of Mexico, because it's just all water. As far as you can see, we preached down there, and they made a point to warn us. They said, be careful of the gators at night, because they'll come up off the out of the water and hang around the campground, and they're looking for, like, dogs, small children, things down their size. So, okay, that was nice. We'd come in from church. I got my wife and three daughters in the car. We got a little dog. He's there waiting in the bus. And buddy, I tell you what, I'd pull that Jeep or whatever it was we had back then up close to the bus. My wife would get out and run over, unlock the door. The doors would fly open. The girls would run in. I'm not even out of the Jeep yet. And when I get to the door, there's a hand sticking out with a leash and a little dog. So now I got to walk the dog because nobody else wants to be out there. And I'm looking around. I got a flashlight. And I'm going, this is going to be great. I got three little girls in there. I'm going to bring back this leash, you know, with a dog, you know, then... Tell you what, one day we were sitting there watching them ducks out there in the daytime, and I'd watch them dive in, and they dive in to eat. They dive in to catch a fish, and I thought it was really amazing because they dive in, and sometimes they stay down for a while. And I was watching one day, and I was sure that a gator got that duck. Amen. But it didn't get it. I mean, eventually that duck came up with a big old fish in his mouth. And I realized that ducks love the water, and ducks, they don't just float around the surface. They dive in deep. They dive in deep to be fed. And they don't just dive in deep to feed themselves. I watched women duck. What do you call them? Who knows? Who cares? Female ducks dive in and catch a fish, and then they would dive in deep, but they were feeding their young. And they didn't only dive in deep to feed themselves and to feed their young. They dove in deep. We're talking about the water now. They dove in deep to teach their young how to dive in for themselves so they could feed themselves. Now, I observed that. I watched that. But I know this. Decoys. Don't dive in. They don't dive in at all. They just float around. They're good with that. But they look good doing it. We got to give them credit. When credit's due, they look good just floating around on the surface. Take your Bible, go to Ephesians chapter 5. Sooner or later, we're going to get a Bible verse in this message. Preacher says, yeah, you better get one in pretty soon. Amen. Anyway, it says in Ephesians 5 verse 26, it says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. The word of God is likened to water. That duck loved the water. He was designed for that water. He was created for that water. He needed it to survive. And I'm telling you something tonight, that if you're saved, you're designed for the word of God. Amen. You should be comfortable around it, where it's taught, where it's preached. You should be comfortable in it, your very own self. Amen. You ought to look for it, long for it. You ought to enjoy it. Again, you need it. As a child of God, you need it to survive. I'm going to just tell you now, I'm in church somewhere every week, year in and year out, for a long time now. And many church folk, well, they remind me more of the decoy than they do the duck. They don't dive in at all. I don't know, maybe they're afraid to mess their hair up or their makeup. They're just content, like that decoy, to sit on the surface. They come to church, but they just sit on the surface and kind of float around. But in all fairness, they look good. Better than some of us after getting eyes full of tears when we contemplate what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us, when we get excited about being redeemed and, amen, start praising God. Amen. Sometimes we look a little disheveled, but not that decoy and not those church folks that are just like the decoy. They just sit there and just wait it out, I guess. Amen. It's a sad truth to me that this day and age, doesn't matter what's said, doesn't matter what's sung, doesn't matter what's preached, doesn't matter what the Holy Spirit is doing in the service. I've been in services where people are getting saved and some people get excited. That excites me. And then I've looked around, and there's people there just sitting there just like nothing's happening at all. You got pro teams here, don't you? The Spurs. I had to ask what they were. I didn't know basketball. I'm a hockey guy. I like hockey. Amen. That doesn't mean I can play and I can fight. But I couldn't ice skate and fight, so I wouldn't last. I couldn't ice skate. But I tell you what, I know this. All around the country, I go places where people have teams, big teams, and people get excited about it, and that's fine if you keep it in perspective. But people go to them, people spend a lot of money, and people buy season tickets, and amen, and they let everybody know. But let me just put it like this. If you're a fan of the Spurs, is it? Okay. If you're a big fan, I ain't got no problem with that. And you get excited about it, and you go to games, not on church day. And you root for him, I got no problem. But let me tell you something. Nobody I ever saw that got excited about a professional team, their favorite, and that when they go to a game and they just sit there like some of you do in church, amen, and just sit there and watch the ball go back and forth, and then your team scores or your team wins, and you just sit there like you do at church, and you don't get excited. Listen, amen, if that's the way you act at a sports game, well, I understand.
Amen.
But nobody does.
Amen.
What I don't understand is how people that were purchased by the blood of the Lamb, the lovely Lord Jesus Christ, come to church week in and week out and get excited about everything but what the Lord's doing.
Right. Yes, sir.
I don't understand that. I don't understand that. Amen. And it shouldn't be that way. Amen.
Amen.
I don't want, hey, listen, let me ask you tonight. We're talking about duck or decoy. I'm glad you're here Friday night. Amen. Y'all look good to me, but I'm asking you to ask yourself, am I a duck or am I a decoy? How's your relationship with the water tonight? Are you diving in? Or are you just floating around on the surface? Amen. Got John 3:16 memorized. Good, branch out. There's a couple more that'd be good. Good for you to hide in your heart. And that Old Testament? Yeah, I don't care what the camp like say. It's good stuff. Oh yeah, man. Get in there. There's good. Amen. Dive in. A lot of people float around. Oh yeah. Blessed old book that I hold in my hand. And tuck it under our arm, and then we use it to slice and dice, man. We're King James Bible. I'll tell you what, you better move that thing over about however far that is from under your arm to your heart, because believing it's the inspired, inerrant Word of God is not what's going to keep you from sinning against God. Right. Hiding your heart is what keeps you from sinning against God.
Right.
Duck or decoy tonight. Duck loves the water. The water's likened to the Word of God. And if you're a child of God, I'm going to tell you something. You are created for the Word of God. And the Word of God was created for you.
Yeah.
Don't be content just to float around on the surface.
Amen.
Don't you dare. You're robbing yourself. And you're robbing your kids. And you'll never be the witness that the Lord would like for you to be. Oh, you'll still get to heaven. Then you'll hear all this from the Lord Jesus Christ, much more eloquently, much more mercifully. But I'm going to tell you what, by the time you get there, it'll be too late to correct yourself. If we get a hold of that now, we can make some modifications now. That's what this is about. Duck or decoy tonight. Amen. Duck or decoy tonight. We're a fine, well-tuned machine we are. That's what we are. Let me tell you something else about ducks. Ducks like being around other ducks.
Yeah, that's right.
They do. Ducks are not loners. No, they don't fly south alone. Amen. They fly in flocks. Now, I want to help you tonight, some of you. You ever wonder when you watch a flock of ducks flying south for the winter? And, of course, maybe this is where they come to. Maybe you've never seen them fly over. Amen. I don't know. But if you ever notice in that V formation, and it's so intricate how God set them up and how they'll take turns and spell each other. It's just like, wow, evolution. Really? Seriously? But if you ever notice, one line, one side, one row, whatever you want to call it, is always longer than the other. Now, some of you may have studied aerodynamics, but for the rest of you, I want to tell you why one row is always longer than the other. Because it's got more ducks in it than the other one. Man, you guys. Ducks like, they enjoy being around other ducks. And like I said, me and my little girl, we watch them floating around together, playing around together, chasing each other. They hang around their own kind. Amen. Listen, I wasn't raised on a farm, but I was raised out in farm country. And if I went to a farm, a friend of mine, listen, the chickens were over here and the ducks were over here. And there wasn't much intermingling. And I never saw either one of them playing much with the vultures. Ducks enjoy being around other ducks. Ducks enjoy being around their own kind. At decoys, on the other hand, they couldn't care less. They couldn't care less. I was at a thrift store in Ohio, and they had a bag. I'm talking about a big old burlap bag about this tall. It's like 30 life-size decoys. at them. And they are just all in this bag. And I don't know how many of you duck hunters, I don't know how many you put out on a string. I don't know. But I know this. If I'd have brought them home and tried to tell my wife that I was going to carry 30 decoys around in our little motorhome, that wouldn't have went over well. So, but I know this. I know this. As I walked by that bag full of decoys, I didn't hear anything. They weren't talking. They weren't enjoying each other. They're just there. Oh, dad, deader than a hammer. That deader than a church at 4 o'clock in the morning that can't get excited about Jesus Christ. Amen. Stuck that in there. Did you see how that worked? Amen. Listen, decoy don't care nothing about being around other decoys. But ducks like being around other ducks. And I'm going to tell you something, man. If you're a child of God, you're saved here tonight. You were created for fellowship. Miss Nelda sang that song. Praise the Lord. Listen. Fellowship. You're created to fellowship with other Christians. Amen. Just like that duck enjoyed being around other ducks. You're created. So fellowship, you know, that's a word that you guys know all about. I've had more fellowship this week than I've had in my own home church in 5 years, I think. That's because I'm never home. I'm not complaining by any means. Amen. But I'm going to fast for a year when I leave here, I think. What's fellowship mean? Well, an old preacher friend of mine in Florida described it like this. It's a bunch of fellows on the same ship. Amen. Think about it. Amen. Think about it. Think about this. Think about being out adrift in life's tumultuous sea. Amen. And going down once. And going down twice. And taking in a lung full of seawater. And then the ship comes by. And the captain spots you. And changes course and brings that old ship of Zion around and throws out a lifeline and gets you with that life preserver and hauls you in and rescues you from the sin that was going to take you down. I mean, all the way down. And boy, when he pulled you out and he pulled you up on board, and wouldn't you be glad that you weren't sinking anymore? And wouldn't you be glad you was out of the water? And wouldn't you be glad you was on that ship? But when you got up on deck where the captain reaches out that hand, it says he brought me up also out of a horrible pit and pulled you on board. Guess what? It wasn't just you and the captain on the ship, was it? Ship had a bunch of other fellows on it. Bunch of other brothers and sisters. Amen. And they're exact like you were. He rescued them too. They was out in that same sea and they were going down. And I'm going to tell you what, you don't get up and go, oh, I thought I was going to be the only. No. It ain't about you. It's about the captain, and we need to worship him and fellowship with each other. Ducks enjoy being around one another. I know some Christians, man, and they'll punch the clock, they'll come to church, they'll do their little duty, but truth of the matter is, they'd much rather fellowship, they'd much rather spend their time with liberals or lost people, I guess because there's no conviction. But you can get saved and you can learn 3 or 4 verses and you can go out there in a lost dying world and you can pretend you're a theological genius. That's what a lot of people do. But you get around other Christians, that Bible says iron sharpeneth iron. Amen. I got news for you. Plastic don't sharpen nothing. Right. Amen. You're created for fellowship with God's people. Amen. 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 Ducks like to be around other ducks. Decoys could care less. Which are you? Duck or decoy?
Amen. All right.
Yes. Duck or decoy tonight. Let me tell you something else. Ducks look out for one another. Yeah. I mean, I've been around where there'd be a duck up on the shore, and you think, wow, that's weird. What's he doing there? And he was injured. And you know what? I've noticed that. We were up there in Lake Erie one time, and my daughter, one of them, finds this duck, and this duck is wounded. This duck, I don't know, leg was hurt or something, couldn't fly, couldn't do nothing. And so here she is, she gets this duck, and she's walking all over town, this little town up there on the lake, where my wife's from, And she finds a police station, and she walks into the police station. She's got tears in her eyes. Oh, look what I... And they're looking at her like, what are you doing with that duck? Let me tell you what ducks do when one gets wounded or one gets sick or something happens and one can't get out there and fly. And they'll get up on the shore, and other ducks will kind of take care of it. They'll look after it. They'll bring it food. They'll try to protect it. I mean, listen, ducks, they, you ever see a duck? They don't even have teeth. Amen. They don't have claws. But I tell you what, I've seen some get going, quacking and flapping them wings and keep predators away from a wounded duck. They look out for one another. Decoys, on the other hand, well, you get the picture, don't you? Decoys not looking after anybody. Amen. I'm going to tell you something, child of God. God put us here not just to enjoy fellowship with one another, but we're supposed to look out for one another. We're supposed to, well, man, there's a multitude of verses. We're supposed to love one another and pray for one another and minister to one another and comfort one another and forgive one another. We're to forbear one another and edify and exhort and encourage. We're supposed to take care of one another. Listen, the battle cry of the flesh is take care of number one. Okay, but you're not number one.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is number one.
Amen.
And he don't need us to take care of him. But I tell you what, there sure are a lot of verses in the New Testament that tell us we ought to be looking out for one another.
Amen.
Amen. Duck or decoy tonight. Simple message, simple message, simple preacher. Amen. Duck or decoy. All right. Where am I? Okay. The duck. The duck is controlled by the man upstairs. Can I say it like that? Why does a duck know what to do? When to fly south? When to fly north? Amen. How does a duck know what to eat? What not to eat? How does a duck know where to go and where not? Because God gave them instincts. Amen. They know what to be aware of. Decoy. Decoy. You're going to be fired pretty soon. No. Decoy, it's not controlled by God. It doesn't have any God-given instincts. A decoy has got a little place and a string attached to it. And here's how it goes. If a duck hunter, he's sitting in the boat, in the blind, concealed, hide subtly. And he'll have a little fishing line out there going from one decoy to another. And they're not controlled by God. They're controlled by a man. You follow me?
Yeah.
Behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. You're a child of God. God's given you his spirit inside of you. God's given you his book. God's given you other Christians. Amen. To help guide you and direct you. Amen. And help you. But here's what we're into in this age. In the name of liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. In the name of, you know what we come to think that means? We've come to take that to this extreme, that the liberty, the freedom, the liberty that I have in Jesus Christ means that I'm saved by grace and I'm eternally secure and I can do whatever I want. So don't be putting rules on me and don't be putting standards on me. I've got liberty. Yeah. You know why it can't possibly mean? You know why the liberty that comes from the presence of the Spirit of the Lord cannot possibly mean you can do whatever you want? Because that's what lost people do.
Amen.
That's what you did before you got saved.
Amen. Amen.
The liberty that comes from the presence of the Spirit of the Lord, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, is the liberty to do something you could not do before you got saved. It's a liberty to live for God. It's the liberty to put others first. It's the liberty, it's the freedom to make a difference. That's what we have when we're controlled by God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, talks about the God of this world that blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now, I got news for you. I travel around the country, and I'm preaching in churches every week somewhere, and I preach to a bunch of people that I don't doubt for a second are saved, but truth be known, they know more about Hollywood and music and sports and the news media than they know about the Bible. Now, all that stuff's of the world. And that means they're more controlled by the man behind the scenes. That's Satan, friend.
Amen.
Duck or decoy tonight. Ducks take naps while they're preaching. Oh, no. Amen. Duck or decoy tonight. Ducks are controlled, by God. Who's controlling you? I mean, come on. Yeah, that duck hunter's not standing out in the middle with hip waders on, pulling that string. He's hidden. He's hidden. He's subtle. You follow me?
Amen.
All right. Duck or decoy tonight. Ducks love the water. Decoys could care less. Child of God, the Bible's compared to water. And you ought to love it. And a duck will do more than just float around on it. That's what a decoy does. But a duck will dive in. And he'll dive in to feed himself. And buddy, that's where you're supposed to be feasting and feeding your spiritual man. And hey, who's going to feed them kids if you don't? That Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let me tell you something. For you to even have a prayer doing that, you're going to have to be going the way you should go yourself. Because training is not teaching. Teaching is done with a blackboard. Training is done by example. Amen.
Amen.
How are they going to learn to feed themselves if you don't teach them? You don't bring them to church where they can have Sunday school. I'm all for Sunday school. I go places where they're against it. I'm for it. Amen. Decoy don't care nothing about the Word of God. And we're talking about water. A duck likes the water and dives in, but a decoy just floats around. But they look good. Man, I go places where people look good. You're in and you're out. They look good. They got about, their Christianity is a mile wide and about an inch deep. Amen. I'll preach wherever God will let me. I'll preach in the Vatican if he let me. Once. Amen. But that's not what, I'm glad that's not the pond God put me in. Amen. I'll tell you what, ducks enjoy being around one another. Now listen, I may be the first to admit, Christians are a strange bunch. I mean, if it wasn't for the Spirit of God, some of you are kind of strange. And when I say that, I'm talking about the body of Christ, and I go around every week. I told my wife one time, we was leaving a meeting, and I said, those people are kind of different. You didn't know we talked like that? Oh, yeah. Well, you do. So why wouldn't we? And I said, them people's kind of strange. And my wife looked over at me, and she said, yeah, they're kind of strange. Everybody's not like perfectly normal like Dave Spurgeon. And I said, yeah, I guess you're right. But I'm going to tell you what, man, we got something in common. No matter what our differences are, or the way we speak, or the food we like to eat, or our accents, or our languages, or skin color. Hey, listen, if you're saved here tonight, the blood of Jesus Christ is thicker than our differences. And you ought to enjoy being around other Christians. And if you don't, well, then you need to confess whatever it is that's caused you to avoid being in a place where you'll be brought under conviction. Because that's why Christians don't like being around other Christians. Because they'll hear their precious little sin preached about, or they'll get around people that are reading their Bible, or that are praying, or that are going to the street, or are trying to do, and nobody likes conviction.
Amen.
So what do? You get right with God.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That's what you do.
Amen.
Yeah, but I did that once. Well, you might have to do it occasionally. Like weekly. Amen. Christians. Ducks are controlled by, they've been given God-given instincts. And you know, everything in creation is doing what it's supposed to do, except us. And God set it up that way, and he gave us a free will, and he's glorified when we'll worship him and praise him and submit. The S word. And submit to him, that's how he gets glory. Amen. But I'll tell you what, it doesn't come natural. Amen. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Set is a verb. Yeah, an action word. It means something's required on your part. You hear me? All right, duck or decoy tonight, and I hope you got something out of that. But I'm not done. I mean, I didn't mean to make you think I was done. Let me say this. Decoys. We'll get it by the time I'm done. Decoys are not evil. They're not evil. They don't even have a brain.
Hello?
Nothing's happening in there. They don't have a voice. That's why them people made millions of dollars making duck calls. But they do have a purpose. And you know what the purpose of the decoy is? The purpose of the decoy is to distract real ducks from spotting the dangers that their God-given instincts would have detected. That's the purpose of the decoy. That's why decoys, phonies in church are so dangerous. Because they distract real ducks. You follow me?
Amen.
All right, so let me give you this illustration. And then when I'm done with this illustration, I'll be closer to being done. Picture a flock of ducks flying south. They're flying over a beautiful country pond in the fall. They've been at it for a while. Amen. And they're tired, and they gotta rest, and they gotta eat, and they gotta drink, and so they're flying south, and the leader's up there, and he's trying to find a safe place, and they're coming over this beautiful country pond, and the older ducks, they look down and they see that it's not good. But there's a string of decoys down there. And it looks nice, and the pond looks nice, and they look very, very real from the sky. And little boy ducks distracting the girl ducks in the flock, and little girl ducks down there. Little boy decoys and little girl decoys that really aren't what they're pretending to be, not what they appear to be. That older duck, man, he's just staying focused, and he's flapping his old wings, and one of the younger ducks, he's tired, and maybe this is his first trip, and man, every time he sees, it's like your kids in McDonald's. Every time they see one, they want to stop. Or whatever.
Amen.
And those younger ducks, they go, "Whoa, look at that, there's a pond. Man, I hope we can take a break. I need to go to the bathroom." And then the older duck, he's not even slowing down. The leader, he's not even slowing down. He says, oh man, look, it looks good. Why can't we stop? And then one of the older ducks in the formation looks back over his shoulder and says, "It's not what it appears. There's danger there." But the young duck, he can't spot that. He doesn't get that. Amen. That's just part of being young. It's not a sin. It's just part of being young. Amen. So they keep on going. And you know what? All the ducks, all the young ducks, they don't necessarily, well, they're not happy with the decision to keep going. And they don't necessarily believe the older ducks. But they do give some credit to the experience of the older duck. And though they might not like it, and they think it looks okay, and they would like to stop, they just shut up and keep going, because that guy that just told them it's not safe, he's made the trip a few times. Those are the ducks that someday become older ducks themselves. But you know what? There's always one or two. And they hear the voice of experience, and they look around and say, you know, all they want to do is spoil our fun, and I don't care, and I'm going down there, and breaks out of formation. And then another one will break. That seems how it is. There'll be a leader, and then another one will break out of formation and start heading down there where them little decoys are floating around. And there they're going, and they're getting closer. And all of a sudden, kablam! When that guy in that John boat steps up with that Remington 870 and shoots that duck. Kablam! Pumps that thing and takes down another one. And there they go. Now they make good illustrations for the ones that kept on going. But they're dead ducks now. Because they wouldn't listen to the voice of experience. Can you imagine a duck wounded? Shot, wounded, falls from the sky, falls to the pond, and out comes that big old lab. Jumping through the water, man. How'd you like the last thing you ever saw was the jaws of some big old dog? Well, ducks experience that. I'm going to tell you what, we got an enemy that makes a Labrador Retriever look like a Chihuahua. That Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Amen. Duck or decoy tonight? How about you tonight? You're going to listen to the voice of experience? Or are you just bound and determined to keep on doing it your way? When you get out of the house, or you get out from under whatever it is you think you need to get out from under, are you going to stay in the book and stay in church and stay on your knees? Or are you going to go out there and prove us right by making a big mess? We don't need any more illustrated material. We got plenty.
All right. Amen.
Tell you what, I'd rather brag on the ones that just submitted themselves to the Word of God and grew up and stayed in church. You'll be able to do more for God than some of us ever will. I'm almost ready to close. Let me say this. Ducks reproduce. You know what they reproduce? They reproduce other ducks. Christians are supposed to reproduce other Christians. Are you involved in anything that's doing that, or you just think you're doing God a favor by showing up at church? Say, why do you say that? Because I see it all the time. Amen? So the question tonight is, I'm not asking if you're saved. I'm sure not. You're in church on Friday night. I commend you for that. But I'm asking you, and you got the message. Are you a duck or a decoy? Do you love and appreciate the Word of God? Are you fed by it? Or do you just carry it? Amen. Are you setting an example for young Christians or your children by how seriously you take the Bible? Amen. Are you a duck or a decoy? Do you enjoy being around other Christians the way a duck enjoys? Amen. It's just second nature of them. I'm telling you what. It's just second nature to me. Somebody was talking to my wife last night. You know why she's able to do this? Because she loves being around other Christians. Amen. It's easy. As a matter of fact, it's beyond easy. It is, it's mind-boggling. It's a miracle. It's amazing. We travel around and again, what we got in common is so much greater than the differences. Amen. Do you look out for other Christians? Let me tell you, you got a nice directory back there. I got one. That way I can figure out who's taking us out to eat. I can memorize all your names. I got them too. I know you. If you took us out, amen. I know who you are. I'll pray for you. Amen. You buy me a steak, bowl of chili, buy me some Chinese food, you buy me some Tex-Mex, I don't care. You'll get on my prayer list, amen. I got you, man, I do. I'm going to get some new names tonight and some new ones tomorrow. I'm going to tell you what else that directory did for me. I found out you guys pronounce Born, Bernie. I'm looking at the map, Born, Texas, no problem. Then all week I've been hearing about Bernie, I'm going, oh, that's what they mean. You know what you can do with that directory? You can go down that thing and pray for one another. Yeah, and I'm not saying some corporate thing. I mean, take a section and then take the next section. You follow me? Page by page. That's what we're supposed to be doing for one another. We're supposed to be. It's not look out for number one anymore. Amen. Is that what you're doing? You care about your brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you know what's going on in their lives? Or you just shuffle in and shuffle out? Amen. All right. Amen. Listen, there's little churches all over the country that's the way it is. 12:05, you know, they're checking their watch. You check your watch while I'm preaching, I will go 15 minutes extra. That's not doctrine. I just can't help it. It's like saying, sick them to a bulldog. I'm having more fun than some of you, I can tell. Who's calling the shots in your life? There's only two choices. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. Everybody's serving one. And you're not even on the list. So if it's not him, you're doing the will of the other guy. Who's calling shots tonight? Let me ask you something. Who's really on the throne? That's what you need to ask yourself. That's what will determine whether you're a duck or a decoy. We're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. Well, one person is. Ducks reproduce. So let me ask you something, Christian. Got any fruit in your basket? I think we preached on fruit one night. Is there any fruit in your basket, or are you just going to present yourself at the judgment seat of Christ and say, here I am, Jesus? Let me tell you something. If you would do that down here, according to Romans chapter 12, verse 1, present your body as a living sacrifice. If you would say, here I am, Jesus, like Isaiah did in chapter 6, you'd have some fruit in your basket when you get there. Duck or decoy tonight. Simple message. Let me get back over here. Okay. Now, if you observe a flock on a pond long enough, eventually they leave. They fly away. You know why? Because they're alive. They fly away. You know what it says in 1 Thessalonians 4:17? Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Yes. If you're saved, you're alive. And one day we're going to fly away. And tomorrow will be fine.
Amen.
Tonight will be fine. Yes. But I got to tell you, I got a feeling there's a lot of church folks aren't going anywhere. Anywhere. Decoy's not flying anywhere. They can't fly. You know what they do? They go back in the closet. Till next year, where it's dark, and they're fine. Amen. That's where the Lord found me, in the dark. I'm not in the dark anymore. I got a feeling there's a lot of church folks that are, they look nice, and they act nice, talk nice. Many of them are nice. But in reality, spiritually, they're still in the dark. And here's why. They say to themselves, well, I'm not all that bad. You're probably not. Compared to other people. Problem is, you're not going to be compared to other people. You've come short of the glory of God. Revelation 22 defines the glory of God. It's the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I'm glad He took mine. Amen. Let me ask you something. Are you saved tonight? Because if you're not, you're not going anywhere but down in flames one day. And that can turn around tonight by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ plus nothing, minus nothing. He did everything that needed to be done to make it possible for us to put our faith and trust in Him. The Bible says, for by grace He is saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm not working my way to heaven. So we'll say, why do you preach? Why do you go to church? Why do you pray? Why do you get excited? Because I ain't got over it yet. I ain't got over what Jesus Christ did for me. If I'd have never got out of that cell, if I'd have never memorized a verse, I got saved in that jail cell, I'd go to heaven. But boy, I'll tell you what, I didn't sit on the fringe when I was lost, and I'm not going to now. So if you're saved, then, well, are you a duck are you decoy? You ask yourself. Preacher, you come. Duck or decoy tonight. I'm not asking if you're saved. I mean, if you're not, you need to get saved. But I know some Christians, man, and they resemble that decoy. They ain't got excited about God. They ain't got excited about what Lord's doing in the lives of other Christians. They're just so caught up in the cares of this world. Boy, that's you, man. Don't be a tool the devil can use to distract and pull down another Christian.
Amen.
Go ahead, preacher.
235.